Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. Quick shout out to Sharky Zartman, my co-author of hashtag Hey Sports Parents, a brand new book, Shark Sense. I'll talk about it in the third segment. We got a great doubleheader today. Dr. Nick Dubley, sports medicine orthopedic surgeon, best-selling author, with his history of the Philadelphia Eagles, the Philadelphia Ballet. He returns along with Rob Miller, partner presenter with a leading youth sports educators, proactive coaching. Then the sports doctor's in with some Bob Guida wisdom, some emails. Dr. Nick, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Hey, Dr. Bob. Great to be back. Always fun to be with you.
Give us some background on yourself and some of the professional world and what's going on in the sports medicine, orthopedic, surgical world.
So about me, I'm a Philly guy, go Sixers, and go everybody. We've had a lot of great teams this year. And I was the Sixers team doc for 13 years and have taken care of Pennsylvania Ballet. They just changed their name to Philadelphia Ballet, actually. I've taken care of them my entire career. The bionic ballerinas and dancers are amazing athletes. And besides being an orthopedic surgeon who specializes in knees, my big interest, I've had a side interest in the world of fitness and wellness, and it goes way back to when I was a kid and I embraced it, and then I found a way to make it part of my career. And, you know, I was part of the President's Fitness Council with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I've written a best-selling book that's about extending the warranty on your body and how you can have a body that'll last as long as you do. And I'm the chief medical advisor for the American Council on Exercises and a vice president of the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. So a lot of my work, my side work outside of orthopedic surgery is about, you know, being healthy and not just living longer, but my big thing is always, it's not just longevity, it's durability. You know, it's the stuff you and I do. If you live long, if you live long and don't have a body that holds up, you're in trouble.
Numerous times you've been on the show over the past 5 years or so. We've talked so much about that new medicine, the combination. Try to stay healthy, try to stay healthy longer, and how it all mixes into the whole sports medicine world. And then we would also talk a lot about how some of the best athletes of them all are the ballet dancers, really. background and the challenges of being a team doctor at the professional level, that's always been a fascinating topic. You know, can you get me better yesterday, Dr. Nick?
Right. And then that spills over to the rest of the world where you have these teenagers or, you know, middle-aged athletes who want the same recovery that these elite, you know, genetically just blessed individuals in their, you know, 20s have and who are willing to work extremely hard. That's the problem I see with a lot of these kids. They want to be like Mike, you know, the old Michael Jordan, and be like Mike, but they don't want to put the time in. I tell so many athletes, you know, for every minute that Michael Jordan was on the court, he probably spent an hour behind the scenes preparing his body and his mind for that moment on the court. And so it's the work, it's the amount of work that they put in behind the scenes that nobody sees that's really unbelievable at the professional level. And there are a lot of pressures. I mean, there's pressures on you as a team doctor, just the amount of time you have to put into it outside of your practice, away from your family. You know, when I was a Sixers doc, basketball, you're looking at 80 games a year, 80 games a year. During playoffs, you have more. You have to travel with them at that point. Preseason, and then you're available year-round for all the players, their families, their posses, everybody. So it's a big commitment. But then when you care for them, you have to watch the VIP syndrome, you know, because you're with big superstars.
Oh, this is such a big business. You know, this is one of the biggest challenges. Hot topic forever on the Sports Doctor, Dr. Nick, is the challenge of youth sports. You just touched on it. And the epithet, why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, and so you've done so many of your books, was the physical and mental pressure on these kids.
Your book is wonderful, by the way. Every parent should read your book. It's a wonderful book. But I didn't want to interrupt you, but just shout out.
Hey, flattery will get you everywhere, Dr. Nick, in that regard. But we see again with all the education and this great education, we have so many people in the world of youth sports on the Sports Doctor, my friend celebrating the 40th year with the National Alliance of Youth Sports. We were all excited about this documentary we've got coming out in the next few months called Where Our Children Play, the Challenge of Youth Sports. And I would imagine that, you know, if a kid is, you're starstruck if he's in the office with the doctor, the professional team, you got a good chance of him and his parents listening to you, right?
Yeah, I wish. Not always.
Right? How's your sports psychology skills?
You need them. I mean, you know, it's like Yogi Berra, to paraphrase him, it's, you know, sport is 90% physical and the other half mental. You know, I know that doesn't add up, but...
I can't believe you mentioned that. A frequent guest of mine is Yogi's granddaughter,
Lindsay Berra,
who's a great sports author in her own. Next week is the documentary, It Ain't Over. going to be debuting on the coast with Yogi Berra. So I can't believe that you brought that up. It's just a terrific timing as usual with Dr. Nick. Everybody, it's the Sports Doctor. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, although we're missing the last like 6 months, you go back years, you'll catch Dr. Nick probably 4 or 5 times. Great guests, international, local. All the umbrella of the Sports Doctor radio show is so much more than sports, but it's all related, whether it's parenting, whether it's concussions, whether it's, hey, what's the best shoe? All of these topics. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll read a lot of great articles on so many different topics. Dr. Nick DiNubile, sports orthopedic surgeon, Philadelphia guy, quite a tennis player. He forgot to mention that.
I love
in the recent segment. Again, the working with families, Dr. Nick, working with the business, million-dollar athletes, or working with parents of very talented kids, scholarships, all of these things, pressure is always on. We woke up one day, we saw that 3/4 of all of these kids were on over-the-counter pain meds, because they couldn't deal with the physical demands, many times of the scheduling. I thought it was way out of control already.
Yeah, you know, you got to make sure the kids are having fun. You know, I wrote a Fit
Great
Quip
point.
Called Field of, you remember Field of Dreams? I wrote a Fit Quip called Field of Screams, how the parents are, the parents can get pretty crazy and put undue pressure on everybody around them, not only the medical team, but the kids themselves. And you got to always check the smile and make sure that, you know, and it's so easy to overload them because there's so much on these kids. They're looking at scholarships, you know, college costs so much, and they really, the parents see this as the way to get it done. And I understand that, but it's just a lot of pressure. And pressure at those young ages is not, you know, you're not ready for that kind of pressure yet often. So, and, you know, one other thing that came to mind, you know, we have all these issues with the kids that are active playing sports, and certainly I love sport and I love watching them. But my bigger concern is about the far majority of kids that aren't doing anything, that are sedentary, sitting around.
Yes. This is, again, where the education many times of the parents and or the coaches. You know, I had a referee on, Dr. Nick, a couple of months ago. Years he was a referee and umpire, and he talked about in this day and age, it's very difficult to get anybody to volunteer or to be a referee. all because we all imagine it out of control parent on the sidelines. The late great Dr. Jim Vickery, sports psychologist, he shared the radio with me in the 90s. He said, "I got two pearls to sports parents. Number one, don't be a critic on the way home. And number two, be a good listener." That stuff, that makes so much sense, doesn't it?
It sure does. It would be a lot easier on everyone. But on my website, you know, Dr. It's drnick.com. I have these things called Fit Quips. And also a lot of the, if you look up Denubly on Huffington Post, you'll see a bunch of articles I wrote. And that's where I did the one Field of Screams, where I really just talk about youth sports and the importance, but also doing it with the right perspective and making sure these kids are happy and they don't burn out, because they burn out physically, they burn out mentally, and a lot of them lose the joy. Once they're in college on scholarship, I can tell you, case after case, halfway through, then the injuries start popping up, and you don't know if the injuries are physical or the role the mind plays on this. If they're not performing the way they want, and then all of a sudden things start hurting differently, and it's really challenging to work.
And on the other side also, Dr. Nick, it's, you know, with the tremendous awareness of concussions at all levels and all ways, and it's great, great to see all this attention. It's still interesting to see that in many instances, you know, you might have a young athlete. I remember a funny story with the great middle linebacker of the Bears, Brian Urlacher. He said, "You know, if I got my head done, I'm going to come to the sidelines, tell them I injured my foot so they don't put me in the protocol." He was being cute. But where these kids won't admit they're injured because, you know, Dr. Weil, they're playing next week, they're competing. You know, I know his ankles are killing him, but, you know, he's taking two Advil three times a day. And that kind of situation is still very, very common. And we got to remember, like you said, the main point, which is, are these kids still having fun? And do we have more, my second guest, talk about the great organization, Proactive Coaching. Do we have educated coaches as well as parents, Dr. Nick, as we start seeing these pressures add on when you've got, you know, college and or, you know, potentially scholarship athletes?
Correct. It's something you have to consider all the time. And the coaches, you know, when you and I were growing up, and I'm older than you, the coaches used to be the taskmasters, and they would be demanding. It's not the coaches anymore. I think more of the pressure comes from the parents onto these kids and onto the medical team. It's you can't believe that. I'm sure you've seen it too, but where people are wanting you to sign off on a kid to go back to play when they have a nerve injury in their arm or a neck injury that isn't ready, and they'll say, "Well, doc, we'll take the responsibility. You know, we know you're worried about your malpractice and all." And that's the last of my concern. You're worried about the athlete and the kid, and
Dr. Nick, whoever heard of Tommy John surgery on 14 and 15 year olds?
Correct.
And this is what it is: overuse, overkill, in so many ways. Now, I do have a chapter in the book called "The Prodigy Sports." Think gymnastics, figure skating, even dance. Now, even soccer, where we have a kid, 11, 12, 13, they only want to play one sport. You can tell them all day, "We want you to play different sports and use different parts of the body." That's great, Dr. Nick, but she's a gymnast, and this is what she loves. So I find we need to pay attention to this area also.
Yeah, and in my book Framework, you know, my original bestseller was about, it was really for all ages, about having
a great balance
in your body and avoiding injury and prevention. But one of the great cover quotes I had a lot of great people who endorsed my book. But Cal Ripken said that, you know, even he, when baseball season was over, he made his son put the glove away, and because he wanted him doing at least three sports a year, because it rounds him out as an athlete, it keeps him fresh. And then, when you look at really some of the top athletes, you know, somebody like Roger Federer, Nadal, they say they got their foot skills from soccer, they got their hand-eye from ping pong, you know what I mean?
McEnroe, man. I had orthotics in McEnroe's shoes in 1981 when he was screaming at his father. Matter of fact, he came to see my orthopedic surgeon colleague as a 20-year-old, but, you know, the athleticism of the sport like tennis is like, that's a whole other show when we have to have you back on in the future.
Did the orthotics make him do all that screaming and carrying on? Jeez.
He only when it hurt him. If he was uncomfortable. And now he jumped in with the pickleball. You know, I wrote an article, Dr. Nick, real quickly about that pickleball is physical. It's taken over the world, the nation, with excitement, with super seniors playing. And we tell these people, hey, you know, you're changing direction. You're moving around. You got to pay attention to being in shape. What do you think?
Totally. I just had an article come out in the magazine called, they wanted me to write on the perils of pickleball, the damage. And
yes.
I said, you know, I'll do that, but I want to write on, how about the positives and perils of pickleball? Because, yes, it's getting people active, which is great. That's what we want, but you have to be cautious, especially older. You haven't been out in a while.
Oh, man, you're changing, you're lunging, you're moving in different directions. And we would say, geez, you know. So we would tell you, I'm not saying someone, you got to train like an athlete, but you got to strengthen those feet and ankles and those legs if you're going to be jumping out on a pickleball court because of the fact that you are really moving, changing direction. It might be, hey, I haven't played anything in 30 years. I'm going to get right out there. And then they end up in your office.
True, but it is great that it struck a chord with people and it's getting sedentary people off the couch. But you're right. You got to watch the injuries because they are piling up. The falls, you have somebody fall down who's a little older, they break a wrist. It depends on the court. A lot of them are playing on paddle courts, which have a gritty surface, and they go to turn, and the next thing they're on the ground. So
give me that website again, Dr. Nick. People can find out about everything about that you're about.
Yeah, so I'm DRNICK, Dr. Nick, like DRNICK.com or DRNICKUSA on Twitter, at Dr. Nick USA. So.
I knew the time always flies by, man. And you do have your dancing shoes on. It's great. Thanks so much, Dr. Nick. Hold on, Nick. We'll be right back, everybody. Dr. Nick Zanubili. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's Dr. Bob Weil here with the Sports Doctor. We want to welcome back, after 4 or 5 years, Rob Miller. Rob is a partner presenter with one of the leading youth sports educators and educating organizations, Proactive Coaching. Hey, Rob, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
It's great to be back and be back hearing your voice and being part of the impact you're making.
Thank you so much. I practice my New York accent, you know, once a week. give us some background, Rob, on you and Proactive Coaching.
Real quick on me, I grew up in Michigan. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a small town and play every sport there was known. Went on and played small college basketball, got into college coaching for many years, and now for going on almost 20 years, been speaking and doing this across the country for youth organizations and high schools and colleges. And that gets me to Proactive Coaching, which was founded by Bruce and Dana Brown up in the Seattle area. I actually live in the Kansas City area now. And Bruce and Dana, both coaches, coached at every level, junior high and high school. And Bruce even had some time at the college level. Went back to coach junior high at the towards the end of their coaching career, just because that's where they thought they had the most impact with young people. And then they got involved in this. And so for over 20 years, Proactive Coaching is, you know, trying to create a culture where, you know, we mix performance, which people like to perform and people are, you know, like to do that, but add in the culture part of it to make it a great experience and make sure we're teaching those life lessons.
Yeah, yeah, those are key points, Rob. As you know, for decades, we have featured on the Sports Doctor the topic of the challenge of youth sports in all aspects and have included so many organizations like yours. Our friends at the National Alliance of Youth Sports just celebrated their 42nd anniversary of coaching coaches. My friends at iSport 360. Again, great communication between parents and coaches. Our documentary, Joel Franco, with Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. And sometimes we say we're still treading water, right, Rob? When we see sometimes these incidences of whether it's the overzealous parents or coaches. You know, the reason I co-authored the book, Rob, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic, everybody, in capital letters, of youth sports overuse injuries, both physical and mental. And that's why we've included organizations like Proactive Coaching, which has all of this positive vibe of awareness, my three words, awareness, education, and positive action. What are some of the bullet points, Rob, that you guys stand for?
Well, I think if we look at them, look at it in all the key stakeholders categories, you know, the first thing, start with this thought, the adult influencers, coaches and parents. And our belief is when coaches and parents work together, miracles happen. And so it starts with those coach and parent understanding, why are we getting into this? Well, it's for the benefit of the young person. It's not too many people, as you know, and we've talked about before, they're looking for a return on investment, and they want that return to be financial. And it shouldn't be financial, because some kids are going to get financial benefits.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Not like you said earlier, not that we don't include it. You know, we want to prevent injuries on the left and enhance performance when indicated on the right.
That's right. Do that, all working towards allowing our athletes, our kids, to reach potential, love what they're doing. In fact, I was talking to some neighborhoods, a couple last night, and they talked about their nephew who's like a freshman in high school, and their comment was, loved basketball, no longer is liking basketball. And it's not because of the sport, it's because the people around them, they're not liking basketball. Something's wrong with that. We got to make this a great experience where people embrace it and play as long as they can and want to.
What ages are in your world?
We work in all, from the coaching standpoint, we work with all ages. From the athlete standpoint, we probably start the junior high level. That's probably for us. And then we work for younger kids. We work with the adult influencers on those kids. And then as we build up,
traveling teams,
our goal,
traveling teams, club teams, we have these organizations, all your programs. Rob, what's the best website people can go to find out everything that you guys are about?
Proactivecoaching.info. That's a weird one, but it's proactivecoaching.info.
Right. That's telling you how important that label is. It's what everything is all about. Again, those three words, the awareness and the education of not only coaches, but parents, as well as the kids, where we see, you know, Little League 30 years ago woke up one day and found out that over 40% of the kids didn't come back to play. And they were trying to figure out what is going on here. And it's all about this stuff, this reality that, again, youth sports has to pay attention to the premise of kids having a good time, enjoying what they're doing, and not getting caught up in this tremendous pressure of competition. I think junior high school is a good place to really start where you're talking about, again, adolescents who are starting to take things more seriously, and the competition side and the prevention of injury side. How do you find, Rob, the medical and the coaching communities responding to your 20 years worth of stuff?
I really think it's getting more intentional and better. But on the other hand, we see a lot of the negative stuff. And when the negative stuff comes, it seems like it's a lot worse. But I think the whole body of work shows us there's a lot more people really focusing in on how can we do this. And you made a great point about that junior high. That's where they changed definition of fun. You know, before that, having fun is being silly. Somewhere in junior high, it goes to having fun is being good.
Yeah, before junior high, everybody makes the team. Now
that's right.
You've got, you know, selections and tryouts. And again, one of the things that we pay such attention to again is overuse, where we start to see some of these schedules and the fact that many times we're dealing with whether it's the young kid's arm problems because he's throwing too many pitches, or the young figure skater, his knees are killing him, or the volleyball player that everything in his shoulders are hurting. And again, educating these parents and coaches on the sports medicine side of things. Again, those two areas, which is, can we prevent trouble and can we enhance? You want to be two steps quicker, you got to be in the right shoe. Right, Rob?
Yes, sir. So much stuff there. And again, I think for clubs and for rec programs and for junior highs, you know, they're not experts. So they got to just seek out some basic information they can provide to their coaches to give them a head start. Because here's what I see, one of the huge problems. It's this. when you're practicing when you're playing 7, 8, 9 games for every one practice versus practicing 4, 5, 6 times for every one game, that tells you right away we got a problem. And we got to make sure our coaches who have to be good at the X and O's are also good at those surrounding factors you're talking about when it comes to the medical concerns, the mental health concerns, and frankly, just what you're saying.
If your son or daughter is participating in a sport, you want to be confident that there is knowledge on the sidelines and in coaching of what to do. We've had this incredible example. Like we all saw in the Monday Night Football, we had the greatest medical care in the world save this kid's life because of the availability. So somebody on that team, somebody in those organizations needs to know and be responsible for, some of the basic knowledge. And when you're dealing with volunteers and many times with, people who have the necessity of what's best for their son or daughter, hopefully, as their main focus, you guys pay a lot of attention also to the importance of nutrition and rest and recovery, don't you?
We try to. We're not experts in the nutrition, but we sure do talk to coaches about you need to seek out the right environment for them. How do they go about? How do they train? Which provides them, again, especially in that age bracket, when, as you know, the growth development of the body is unbelievable. What happens, you ever seen that one kid, they come back to school in September and you're looking at the kid like, who is this kid? And you had him last year, but they grew up so fast. Well, we got to make sure we're providing them with the knowledge and the resources so that they can go out and take some ownership in it. I think that's huge. The athlete has to take ownership in this, and we have to provide them the resources so they can take care of themselves.
And the points that you were just making also as far as parents, the late great sports psychologist, Dr. Jim Vickery, he shared the radio with me for, 5, 6 years in the 90s. I don't want to date myself or anything. But he said, I used to drag him along when my kids were playing Little League and whatever, where I would be talking about treating injuries and who's got ice and what's the best shoes. And he would talk to parents. And his first two bullets for sports parents were, number one, don't be a critic on the way home. And number two, be a good listener. And it's amazing how that still really is such key, again, when you're dealing with the parents and the families and the coaches and the competition as these kids get a little bit older, when you just mentioned that maybe that young basketball player who says, I don't know if I want to play next year because I didn't have a good experience, for whatever reason. So, and again, that's why I've always liked your, when I talk about the three words, I talk about awareness of what the situation is and what some of these concerns could be, the education, this whole point, and then, a proaction. And you have proactive. I think it's a great label when you're dealing with what you're trying to, pay attention to the positive side of things in all aspects of coaching.
And, we talk about that is one of the things we talk about when you talk about communication between parent and athlete. You fall into one of two categories. You're a confidence builder or a confidence cutter. And the coach has to understand their job is to correct them, and the athlete has to understand that. But we all want to be confidence builders. And when we just sit there and critique their performance the whole time in the negative, we become a confidence cutter, and we never want that. It's the great John Wooden quote, right? Kids can live on a compliment for a month, stay 30 days ahead. Find a way to make sure you're telling them something positive whenever you can. But I love your comment, Doctor, about listen. If you really listen, you'll figure out where they are and what they need.
I'm going to talk a lot more about this, the topic again, the whole challenge of youth sports, everybody involved. We're talking with Rob Miller, partner, presenter, with Proactive Coaching, over 20 years of educating the whole group. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hi from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. We're talking with Rob Miller, who's a presenter. He's a partner with Proactive Coaching, talking about the challenge and so much of the good side of getting parents and coaches and families, as well as these kids, at least in the same book, if not necessarily on the same page. You know, Rob, a couple of months ago, I had a longtime youth sports referee and umpire on, and he talked about how difficult it was to get new volunteers and new people involved because of sideline behavior still with parents. He said, I can't recruit any. Even when they were umpires of kids, his criticism. How do you see that stuff?
Yeah, there's no doubt that that's still going on. And I think we've made it even a bigger issue because coming out of COVID, we lost so many people that were long-term volunteers that just didn't come back, you know, because they thought, oh, okay, I don't need to come back. And now we're at a less pool, and so now when you lose them, it's even more of an issue that comes up. And we just got to learn just respect, you know, just respect the people. And I heard a story yesterday, even how good is this, that this was at a college, that a commissioner called an athletic director at a college and said, I just wanted to call. I've been doing this for 20 years. We were running the conference softball championship, and it's the first time in 20 years every player from one team walked up to me and said thank you. How good, that's all we need is a little bit of gratitude to walk towards those people and say, thank you for giving us the time.
Great
and
example.
It goes a mile.
How many people that you deal with in this whole world are volunteers, Rob?
Oh man, when you're talking about that in the youth sport world, 90% of them. Now, I think what we find is, and this is one of the issues, there are people who are in it for the business format. They're making their living off of youth sports. Well, that's one of the reasons they're telling kids to specialize, because they keep coming to their program paying fees every year.
There's a place for specialization. I have a chapter in my book. I call it the prodigy sports. You know, I one of my super specialties is the world of figure skating. The 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist grew up here in Illinois, Evan Lysacek. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. And, you know, again, a young gymnast, a young figure skater, a dancer. Yes, we want you to play all different sports. We want you to do different parts of the body. Yes, yes, yes. That's great, unless you've got one of these kids. So we have to deal with that population, at the same time. And there definitely is a point, you know, pitching coaches and quarterback coaches and fitness coaches. You know, the world of strength and conditioning coaches, 20 years ago, nobody knew how to spell it, let alone was it a category. So lots of experts. It is a big business. And that makes it even more challenging, doesn't it, Rob?
It does, and it doesn't mean any of it's bad. It just means we have to make sure we do not abuse the student, the athlete, the young person to achieve our goals instead of making sure we're achieving their goals and getting a good experience so they continue at it as long as they want to.
You know, I like proactive coaching. You know, you guys pay so much attention, again, to the life skills side of it that you're looking to add into these boy or girls' experiences, even when they're serious athletes. The idea of a lot of these different points and philosophies, and that's the big side of your education side, isn't it?
We believe without it, your team is in trouble. In fact, one of our statements that we've used in the last year is this: when you're all about performance and not about culture, you're in trouble. And if you're all about culture without performance, you're in trouble. There's a balance of the two, and we're working with high-level Division I programs right now in baseball, softball, that are top 10 teams in the country, because they understand you got to bring in the culture, character, leadership part, or you're not going to have that same experience and same ability to reach potential you would by just putting out and saying, let's perform.
Yes, there's no doubt about it that, again, when you're dealing with the pressures of scholarships, the pressures of playing injured and all that whole world, is no doubt about it. You know, we're very involved. We're very excited about the sports medicine connection we're making with Baseball Blue Book that was initial from 1909. The idea, again, of the idea of preventing injury, of training properly, of dealing with proper nutrition, of being involved with your history, what's going on, so that we don't have 14-year-olds with Tommy John surgery because they're playing baseball year-round. Or other concerns, you know, Dr. Weil, don't you understand? The kid's got to play. He's competing next week. And the better the athlete, the more the pressures sometimes mix in. And, you know, that's that relationship, Rob, that sometimes organizations like yourself have to have, you know, again, with the medical world, with the coaching world, with the parenting world. That's why I always ask you guys how your sports psychology skills are, Rob.
Yep. That's right, because you're going to get all of it. And take a look at those two issues. If you don't have a basic understanding of biomechanics, every sport's different. And as you know, baseball, you've talked about volleyball, that arm going in that direction over the head is not natural, right? And if you don't have an understanding of that, you could potentially wear that arm out. On the other hand,
it made Bob Guida famous. My famous late great sports therapist who I met in the late 70s, Bob Guida. Everybody came to see him to be quicker, faster, stronger. He had a great saying. He said, you got to work the brakes. We work with the Olympic volleyballers. He rehabbed Jim McMahon's shoulder, but Guida would say, I'm strengthening all the areas that slow that motion down. I had to bring that up when when you mentioned that great point about overuse.
I love that. Put the brakes on at times. And on the other end of it, I believe right now we have to be really sensitive to the point, for whatever reason, and I'm not an expert in this area at all, but what used to be adversity has turned to anxiety. So we better understand that as coaches, because the last thing we want is players playing with anxiety out there. Yeah. They can play with
the
nerves.
Mental game. Yes, the mental game, Rob, you know, you had the best athletes in the world, whether it was Simone Biles at the Olympics saying, you know, I just can't do it. Or you had the great swimmer with all his gold medals talking again. The mental game is a gigantic topic for decades on the Sports Doctor. All of these different kinds of areas. And it's amazing in the past couple of years of the pandemic, like you were mentioning, Rob, wherever my guest is from internationally, whatever their vocation, number one was mental health.
Yep. It's become a big issue because we haven't dealt with it over time. And now it's surfacing. And again, we have to understand what are those stress points so that we're dealing with the stress points. I have no problem telling an athlete, I have no problem that you'll be nervous out there playing. That doesn't mean you can't play with full effort, full attention. But when that nervousness becomes anxiety, they're not going to be able to play at that high level. We got to be able to work with that and give our coaches just some basic tools to help them understand that.
That's what you guys do. I knew we'd fly through this. Rob, give me the best site again people could find out about everything Proactive Coaching.
Well, either proactivecoaching.info for the website, or you can find us at Proactive Coaching LLC on Facebook.
Fantastic. So much information that we grabbed in. Again, getting Rob Miller back with us. Thanks so much, Rob. Hold on, Rob. We'll be right back, everybody. It is the Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we are back. It is the Sports Doctors In segment where we preview some upcoming guests, answer some emails. But number one, shout out the co-author of my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, frequent guest, a prolific author, Sharky Zartman. Her new book, Shark Sense. I think it's a redo of the first thing she ever did in the 10, 12 books she's done. Just out on Amazon, Shark Sense, great advice, life skills, fun, cartoons. You got to check it out. So congratulations, Sharky, with the new book coming out right away. Great guest as always, coming up over the next few weeks. Dr. Virgie Ellington is going to be talking about the always necessary world of insurance and billing and the medical services and health care and navigating that system. It's amazing at almost any level what a big deal that becomes. Maria Manadekis and the tsunami to greatness. Again, the mental game, all of these skills, athletes, families, coaches that go into making a difference. The idea of embracing your greatness. She'll be with us the following week. You know, music therapy, Pitts Quattrone, and his working with one of the first instruments ever and some of its health benefits, fascinating. Topic. And then we're going to be talking brain health with Leanne Stuver. So lots of great stuff coming up. Where's guided wisdom? There it is. Soft tissue therapy. You know, we always have massage therapy. It's a terrific healing modality. Our frequent guest, Mike McAleese, with his school, some others. And Guida, back in the 70s and 80s, really, really got very active with a chiropractic instrument called the G5, allowed very deep pinpoint massage. He'd call it vibration medicine. And it was amazing to see how helpful this was, whether it was an acute injury where he was using deep soft tissue in surrounding areas to stimulate healing activity, or whether it was working with chronic areas where he actually was stimulating the tissues themselves, soft tissue therapy, a la the late, great Bob Guida. Kelly says, my son's 13 years old. I wanted to ask you about the three basic exercises in your book. Great, Kelly. The book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, we just celebrated our fourth anniversary. It's more key today than ever. I do mention in one of the segments of the book, Sports Doctors In, and the two basic exercises that I recommend all kids playing sports include, not at the exclusion of everything else, but include. I don't care also if you're the best athlete in the world or their grandmother. The two exercises are, one, strengthen your feet and ankles. Rubber bands are a great way to do it. Tilt boards are a great way to do it. I love the sand dune stepper, which simulates movements in the sand for your feet, where you're really working those feet and ankles. And that's also included in the second basic one, which is work balance. Whether you're a super senior, just standing, holding on 1 foot at a time, whether you're the best athlete in the country and you're working standing on mini trams and balancing on unstable surfaces while you're swinging that tennis racket or hitting that volleyball, balance is a tremendous weapon. Every stabilizer system in your body is turned on when we call what I call instability training. Create instability. Again, imagine yourself bouncing on 1 foot on the mini tram. And there you are demanding all the stabilizers and brakes of the body to turn on. And again, no matter what your son or daughter's age, no matter what their sport is, no matter what their level is, it makes a lot of sense when we're talking about youth sports. Todd says, my dad is over 60 years old. He's got heel spurs. He was told that that's a surgical problem. Almost never, Todd. Rarely. I can't remember the last time that we did surgery on heel spurs. Almost always. Heel spurs are a development of bone, a protrusion of bone, usually on the bottom of the heel, sometimes on the back of the heel, but much more common on the bottom of the heel, because of irritation and traction of where the plantar fascia, the big band-like fiber on the bottom of the foot, which goes from the toes, attaches to the bottom of the heel. Every step you take, you stretch and you pull that, let alone running and jumping or playing active sports. And over the decades, after 40 years old or later, the bone can respond by developing a spur, which can be very irritating and uncomfortable. Most of the time, if we support that area, ideally with prescription orthotics, and do some physical therapy, strengthening surrounding areas, treating the area itself, maybe with ultrasound once in a while, maybe cortisone injections, very, very, very successful. So many times you want to make sure that she gets another opinion. 1% is surgical. I won't say never. Orthotics are magic for that. Even an over-the-counter arch support and good walking shoes can help. So check it out with podiatry. Matter of fact, my next email from Beth wanted to have a question about Skechers and podiatry-certified arch supports. And it's a good move, Beth. The addition of arch support, which might be for a high arch foot or a flat-type foot, and is strategically, as far as shoes are concerned, is usually a positive. On occasion, it could be aggravating because it's not individualized like an orthotic might be. But I might say to a patient when we're waiting for orthotics to come in a couple of weeks to absolutely, or if someone calls and said, this problem is new on my arch or heel, and I'm thinking about the certified Skechers or Dr. Scholl's insole, or I've recommended Superfeet. Superfeet initiated in the world of skating, gosh, 4 decades ago, where I was first exposed to it. Now we put them in walking shoes, running shoes, basketball shoes. Good first step in many instances. Again, check out Sharky's book, Shark Sense. At the same time, check out Hashtag 8 Sports Parents. Hey, happy spring, everybody. See you next week.